Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded September 8th, 2019. This week's sermon, Core Values, Ultimate Truth, by Frank Donato.
As I ask you to pull out your bulletin, we have a sheet that we purposely put in there called Our Core Values. And I hope as we go through the next 5 weeks, we're going to be going through our core values. Now, last week, Carrie introduced the topic of core values. And this is what he said. He said, New Hope Christian Church unapologetically has set core values. You can see that here. These core values, he said, define who we are. He said, how we do ministry and why we do ministry. And then he went on to say that Jesus had core values. Remember when the Sadducees and asked them and the Pharisees, what's the greatest commandment? Tried to put them in a corner. And Jesus says, well, it's two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second one is love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus' core values that he shared with us are two things, love God and love people. And that's who he is, and that was a reflection, and that's what he was most passionate about. So Kerry went on to say that New Hope has these core values, and these core values are going to be steady. These core values answers the questions why we do things around here and why we do them and what we do. So we're going to be looking at our first core value today. It's called Ultimate Truth, and I want to read this. It says, because we believe that God is the creator of all things, we believe only he knows exactly why everything exists, what went wrong, and how it can be fixed. Since he has chosen to show these things to us through the Bible, we value these truths knowing that they are for our good. And so today we're going to look at the first one is pursuing God as the ultimate truth in our lives, because our mission is pursuing God for the benefit of others, being the church wherever we do life. So we're doing the first half of our mission statement is pursuing God. And so what does that mean? We pursue God as being the ultimate truth. See, what we want you to do at New Hope is grow this season. We want you to grow deeper in God as you pursue God as knowing him as the ultimate truth. We want you to pursue God. We want you to grow this season. We want you to grow in God's word for the benefit of you and the benefit of others. Parents, we want to grow you so you can be a benefit to your kids as they grow. And so we're going to be looking as God is the ultimate truth. And we're going to know as you grow that he is the ultimate truth. You're going to know why everything exists. As you grow in God and study his words, you're going to know what went wrong, how it can be fixed. God shows us the answers through the Bible. He shows us the answers of the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of prayer, the role of Jesus. So we pursue God as he is the ultimate truth. Now, I want to get very practical for us as we go through these core values today. We learn what core values are and the importance it was to Jesus and to us as a church. So what is your next step as pursuing God as the ultimate truth as you pursue God? Well, I just want to say, here's some easy steps. If you're a visitor, we want to say welcome. Maybe you moved in the area or you're checking our church out, or maybe you're a college student. We want to say welcome. And there's different reasons why God put you here, and it's not by accident. So we want to honor that we want to say, you're welcome. Thank you for coming and being a part of our family and kind of kicking the tires and see if this is a good fit. We would love to connect with you over here at the patio. So what is your next step? Well, your next step is we have a thing called Get to Know New Hope, and it is today. It's a luncheon right after next service. You come back, bring your kids. We'll feed your kids. It's right after church. The last service, we'll meet you at the patio. If you haven't signed up, it's about an hour and 20 minutes, and we'll tell you what the church is about. You can meet the staff members, and you can just see the DNA of our church. So that would be your next step. It's called Get to Know New Hope, and we hope that we see you over here. Just come to the patio after last service. It's at the other end of the building, and we'll kind of show you where it's at. We're ready for you. It's catered. It's a wonderful time. So that might be your next step if you're a visitor. If you've been around here for a while and you've done that, your next step is to join a Rooted group. How many of you, see a show of hands, have been through the Rooted series? Let's see. Wow, there's a lot of you. So what is Rooted, if that's your next step? Well, take a look at the screen and it shows you a little bit what the Rooted program is about.
Hi, my name is Jeff Bunn. Some of you might know me as Chief Bunn from the State Center Police Department. And I want to tell you my story about myself and how I came about being part of Rooted and what Rooted did for me. In 1983, as I graduated high school, I started public safety. And I've had a total of approximately 38 years of public safety between fire and police. I didn't know quite what to expect from Rooted. The people that were in our group, we became family. And as I grew through Rooted and listened and learned how to pray and communicate with God in a more personal level, I started having things happen to me in my career and in my private life where God, I truly believe, was talking to me through my thoughts. I didn't hear things, but I clearly knew that He was telling me what to do. Rooted provided me the ability to feel really comfortable with giving testimony to people when I was working. So a lot of times I would make it very apparent with the Rooted bands, if people saw those on me, they would ask questions. And it gave me an opportunity that opened the door up for me to give some testimony and ask questions of those folks that I might have in custody that were inquiring. I know I went through one whole bag of bands, Rooted bands, that I've handed out to people since I've been working. I would recommend everybody to at least go through Rooted once, if not multiple times, and to get to a point where you feel comfortable to host a Rooted program. It'll change your life. And I truly believe that it has changed, that Rooted group has changed my life. We're still family. And having this Rooted family that was created by going to this group, they are a great support for me.
So this Rooted starts next week. It's 10 weeks, and we want you to pursue God as knowing Him as the ultimate truth. So that would be your next step. The way you can do it, David will be at the patio here. We have a clipboard. We have a computer. You can do it. It's okay. You can multitask. I give you permission. You can get it. NewHopeChristianChurch.net. Sign up right now. And so there's just different ways. You can sign up in the hallway on the iPad. We want to encourage you. It starts next week, next Sunday evening here. We're going to have a big kickoff. So maybe that's your next step. Parents, this is what your next step. Just last Wednesday, we had a huge kickoff here for our children's ministry and for our high school and junior high at the same time. Parents were here. We had big blow-up things, and we had cotton candy and popcorn and just had a good kickoff. Parents, we want you to get involved as you pursue God for the benefit of others. You pursue God for the benefit of your kids. We want to come alongside you. We're giving you tools that you can grow up your kids in the faith. Maybe you're first discovering it. Maybe you've been in the faith for a long time, but it's our responsibilities as parents to raise our kids, and so that's what we want to do. Have them come Wednesday Wednesday night, we are locked and loaded for you. You come in and sign them up. You have a parent newsletter in your bulletin. We have family pastors in our family ministry is Zach Hamilton. He's in charge of our kids. And David Chase is in charge of our junior and senior high. And they're here to serve you and to serve your kids. This is the parent newsletter. And you can read that and see what's going on and how we can come alongside you to you get involved. If you drop them off Wednesday night, they have some curriculum. You can pick up a guidebook. You know, I was at, Grandma and Grandpa Appreciation Day for our grandkids in Lancaster, Missouri. And we went to their school and sat in their classroom, got to know the teachers, see what they're learning. In the same way, you can just see what they're learning. You can pick these up in the hallway. That's what it looks like. You go way down in the children's ministry. This is all online also. You pick up one of these books, and it just gives you some resources that you can use at home, some conversation starters. There's little memory verses that you can cut out and you can give it to your kids and you can do that together. Also, we have little take-home papers for the week as you can connect with a family. Here's some ideas and a memory verse. These are all tools that we want to come alongside you so that you can pursue God for the benefit of your kids. We also have these cool, I call them, you hang them on your refrigerator or just in the house where you can have scripture reminders in your house. It's all there. You can print them out or go to this kiosk at the end of the hallway. Parents, we want to get alongside of you as you do your next step, as you pursue God as the ultimate truth and pass it on to your kids. You know, as we all look at the culture today, I don't have to say much. It is changing so rapidly, isn't it? And as a grandfather, I fear for my grandkids and what kind of culture that they're going to be growing up in and how we can get their wood grain set as they walk with the Lord. And that's a big burden for me because the culture is changing so rapidly. I remember back in 2009, President Obama at the time said this statement, and you can YouTube it, you can see the speech. He says, in 2009, we are no longer a Christian nation. And when I first heard that back in 2009, the hair in the back of my neck just stood up. I thought, what are you talking about? We are a Christian nation. In the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. The money that we have says, in God we trust. But as we fast forward 10 years now, 2019, it's true. It's true. The kids that are growing up in high school and in college now, they're that generation that's never been to church because their parents never went to church. And it's true, we are no longer a Christian nation, and God does not have ultimate moral authority in their life. And they're just questioning the existence of God. So I want to ask you the question this morning, does he exist or doesn't he exist? Can we really call him God as ultimate authority? Now, if I was to take a vote this morning, or do you believe that God is the ultimate authority? I'm sure 99.9% of your hands would go up and we could call it quits and we could have a go out to Perkins and have an early breakfast and just call it church. But I think the question is deeper than that. You know, does God exist or doesn't he? Do you really believe he does? Sometimes in my life, just if you're a little bit like me, sometimes I believe God is real and I believe it with all my heart and I've built my whole foundation in my life on that belief that he's out there. But sometimes I want to be totally transparent. I have moments, I don't talk about them, they don't come very often, they don't last, but sometimes when I'm in the car by myself, or I lay awake at night, or get up early, or I'm at a graveside and I've just performed a committal service, and after everyone's left, when I'm standing in an empty grave cemetery, sometimes I wonder, how can I know for sure? And I want to say today, if you're struggling the same way, you're here for a reason. God has you here for a reason this morning. It's not by accident. Because we want you to walk away with your faith strengthened as you pursue God. We want your foundational beliefs reinforced. And I want to say, you're welcome here. You're in good company. You know, there's many people in this room that has had doubts from time to time and questions. Even many heroes of the faith in the Bible have had doubts, the heroes of the faith. You look at Abraham, him trusting in God, and God's being quiet, and he takes life into his own hand, him and Sarah, and he sleeps with his maidservant, and they have a child, Ishmael, and things go south. And Abraham had doubts, and he had mistakes, and he had doubts. You look at Moses leading the people through the promised land. He had doubts all the times of the millions of people he's leading. Moses had doubts. You can read about it. Elijah and the prophets of Baal, after it's all over, he started to doubt. Jeremiah. See, different times and different people, even in the New Testament, John the Baptist, after he baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, he had to have doubts. Right after that, he was quickly arrested, and he was sentenced to be beheaded. And he said to his followers, John the Baptist says, go seek out Jesus. Look him right in the eye and ask him this question for me. Jesus, are you really the one? Because I'm laying my life foundation that you are. In the quietness of the prison cell, John the Baptist doubted. And maybe you wonder, do you believe? Do you know why you believe? What you believe? Do you have questions? So does he or doesn't he exist? Scientifically, it can't be proven or it can't disprove the existence of God. And I think God likes it that way because we come to him in faith. And this is what it says in the book of Hebrews. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, I think that's the way God wants it. He wants us to come to him in faith. And the Bible promises if we earnestly seek God, he will be found by us. So the first question, if you're having doubts, am I honestly seeking God? If you're having doubts, ask yourself, am I honestly pursuing God? Am I honestly doing that? Am I honestly giving prayer a shot? My good friend Nancy, we finally had a spiritual conversation, and she says, Frank, I don't believe in God. I mean, it wasn't, oh, I don't believe in God. She just says, I don't believe in God. I gave up on God. And when the time's right, I'll say, Nancy, have you ever studied the scriptures? Have you ever tried praying? Have you ever just examined the evidence? And I want to say, if you're honestly, openly seeking God, if you're not, you're not really going to find him. And then we start getting misconceptions and misunderstandings about God because we don't seek him. And so that's why it's our core value to seek God, earnestly seek him as your ultimate authority. You know, you can start proving the existence of God. Here's some of the arguments that God is the designer, and he certainly is. The basic idea that God started something from outside from himself, something started from outside himself, and that was God. Because Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And see, if you don't believe in God, you're saying, well, the universe always just has been and nothing is required for him to do. But this is what it says in Colossians. It says, all things, everybody say all things, have been created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You know, there's a time when a little girl asked her daddy as he's tucking her into bed, says, Daddy, where did we come from? And he says, well, honey, as he tucks in the covers, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Let's go to sleep. I mean, that's a huge question, isn't it? Where did God come from? Revelation says, God is the Alpha, the Omega. God is the beginning and the end. The scripture says he's always been. Everything is finite, but God does not live in that realm. He's all powerful. He's always been. He's the designer of, he is the major designer of all things. Did you ever just go outside on a cloudless evening and look at the stars? And as we read about the galaxies and more, the Psalm 19 echoes the same thing. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Can you picture in your mind's eye when you're looking at the galaxy? The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day and night they pour forth speech. Night after night they display his knowledge. There's a big sign that says, yep, God is out there. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, the sky around you is an evidence of a designer. The systems of nature cannot be explained by accident. There is a major architect behind it, someone who created all of this. Hear about the little girl asking her mother, Mom, how did we get here? Well, Mom says, well, honey, God created the world and created man and woman and Adam and Eve, and they loved each other very much. Says, well, that's not what Daddy says. Daddy says we came from monkeys and apes. Mom says, well, that's on your father's side of the family. You know, God is the designer. The second argument is this: God designed moral law. He is our ultimate authority. You look at the Ten Commandments and read them. It's the moral code. And it goes beyond that. God has written a moral code on every human's hearts. It points to the moral lawgiver. Every culture, every civilization had similar codes of ethics. The Code of Hammurabi. And on of every code, every civilization had certain code of ethics against murder and rape and lying and being a thief. And it all points to one great lawgiver. Romans 2, 14 and 15 says this: even the Gentiles who do not have God's written law show that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without hurt it. You see, it's a moral code in every human being. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, it goes on to say. For their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them that they are doing right. You see the evidence for the existence of God, of being our ultimate authority. He gives us the moral code that tells us something about God. It speaks of his holiness. And then at the end of the day, it's not about the evidence. It's something more personal. I find that when people don't believe in God, it's because of a disappointment or disillusionment about God in their life. Ultimately, if you push them far enough, they say, I don't believe in a God who would. And you can fill in the blanks. I don't believe in a God who would. And you've heard many, many, many different reasons about that. It's the kind of God that trips them up. I have a cousin named Lizzie. We grew up in St. Louis and went to the Pilliard Farm a lot and played a lot when we were cousins. And it's been a period of 25, 30 years that I haven't ever seen Lizzie. I saw her at a family funeral. I came back to Missouri. We're all grown up, just catching up with Lizzie. She knows I'm a pastor. And I said, Lizzie, how you doing? She said, well, Frankie. Yes, he calls me Frankie. I started doubting the existence of God. I said, Liz, when did that happen? She says, well, about 12 years ago, I went through a horrible divorce, and things just fell apart in my life. My older teenager got hooked on drugs, and I just gave up on him. And how many people like that just have a disappointment, a disillusion about God, and maybe you're in the same seat? You say, I just can't trust the God who would do this. The most important question is, does God exist? It's really is, what kind of God exists? And so we have this culture that has a disillusionment on God, and it's not even on their radar. And you know, we just need to teach them, as we do life with them, is we need to teach them that you can go to God, and it's someone that you can trust. Now, I took the challenge back in January to be the church wherever we do life. And I looked at my life, and a lot of my time is contained in the walls of this church, getting volunteers and things like that. And so just the Lord prompted me to go out into the community and get a part-time job so I can start rubbing shoulders with people in the community. Well, I started at Culver's. Yes, I am your dining guy. If you ever go to Culver's, if I work the lunch shift, I'll probably see you there. I'm running out the bags. I'm your dining guy. And, you know, that was back in January, and I thought, you know, this is going to be so cool. I'm being the church wherever I do life, and I'm going to start a Rooted group, and I just had vision of some of the kids coming to my Rooted group, and it's been 8 months. No way, Jose. No way. God schooled me. You know, I had the vision this would happen, and I understand about missionaries who go off into Africa, and they never have a convert for 5 or 10 years because people want to trust you first. And it was pretty difficult. I kind of went through a hazing time my first month and a half there. I mean, this pastor, and they're, what's going on here? A pastor, they don't know what to do with me. It's like I had a big sign, I'm a pastor. And they didn't know what to do with me. I love them. I fall in love with all of them. But in the early months, you know, I'm working the fryer, and my buddy says, trying to break the conversation with whoever I am. He says, so, how's your flock? What do you do with that? We feature a fried walleye during Easter time and during Lenten season, and one of the guys said, "Hey Frank, you're old. Why do so many old people like fish? You know, where do you start?" Lenten season, and so it's not even in their it's not even in their radar. And so God just told me, Frank, I just want you to love them. Just love them. Listen to their stories and just boost them up. Whatever their story is, I want you to love them. 5 months go by. I did not have one spiritual discussion. Then all of a sudden one night, I'm going to call her Patty because her real name, she still works there. She's a precious young lady. She was having a down night. And what happens at night when the rush is over, the girls and their girls, there's 10 of them, and their high school girls, they just start talking in their clusters, and I just got to say, I got to go do a thing. But Patty comes back in the back room as I get in some trash bags. Says, what's wrong, Patty? You're looking down. Well, I think I'm going to quit. I just don't fit. And I said, Patty, that's not true. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that you're a child of God and he loves you. And she looks at me. I said, Patty, you're a child of God and he loves you. Just stick with it. She says, well, thanks. And then so I thought it would take it a step further. I said, you're a child of God. I thought, well, I'll bring it a step further. I said, do you remember when Jesus hung on the cross and all these people are being mean to him and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And she just had a blank stare. And I said, honey, you don't even know who Jesus is, do you? She says, no. 10 years ago, Obama said we're no longer a Christian nation. This young lady is now 18, 19 years old, and it's true. Do you know Jesus, honey? No. Well, let's just start ground zero. You're a child of God, and he loves you. Let's just start there. Let's fast forward another month. And I say that phrase every once in a while, just dropping it in conversation. And you know what? I can't start with this core value. If I would say, Patty, what's wrong? Well, let me show you my core values. And I would read this to her. She would look at me like I'm speaking another language. And so I'm quickly learning, if I want to be the church wherever we do life, I just need to start with the basics. Just love them. Another month goes by, and the girls are talking again, and all of a sudden the conversation, one of them says, you know, my step-parents, they just say I'm a mistake all the time. And this other girl says, that's what my parents say. And the other one says, that's what my parents say. I'm a mistake too. And our shift leader says, girls, remember, you are a child of God, and he loves you. And I'm going, yes, God, yes. Score. Mic drop. You know, and I thought, what if this first 8 months they asked me, Frank, why are you always in such a good mood? If I would say, well, this is the day the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm a more than a conqueror through him who loves me. They would look at me like, what is going on? Guys, I just love them. Just get them to the point where they can come to me, that they can trust me again. And then listen to the Jesus words in John 14:1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. It took Jesus 3 years to say those statements, investing in these disciples for 3 whole years, over a course of 3 years. You know about me, if I'm in downtown Des Moines and I want direction, I just don't unroll the window and ask the first person direction. I want to ask someone that I can trust. I ask Portia. No. No, if I want directions, I ask someone that I can trust. And I think that they're the same way. Because if someone gives me clear directions, I don't have to think twice about it because I can trust him. And Jesus is there for them. He's saying, just love them. Just be the church. I'll do the rest. You cast the seeds when you can. I'm the soil. And I'll tell you when it's time. So that frees me up. There's no ulterior motives. I don't have any more personal gain or benefit because I know that the Lord loves them so well and he has the very hairs on their head numbered and he's going to take care of it. And I'm just there to love them. I can't tell them yet that God is their ultimate authority. God's telling me, Frank, be the church wherever you do life. So there's a tension there, isn't there, as we close. We know we need to grow, we need to mature, but out in the real world, no clue. And so God says, just love them. Take the time and love them. Okay, so in closing, what are we going to do? Everyone here has a next step. Everyone here has a next step on how you're going to grow and how you're going to be the church wherever you do life. I know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now. So what we're going to do is dim the lights, and you spend time with the Lord, and we just want to sing over you right now as he's telling you and prompting you what your next step is.